This week of meditation commemorates the awakening, the realization of the Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha. And it's said that after the Buddha was sort of finished with his work, he gave himself 7 days to consolidate and just, you might say, enjoy his victory, his great victory in coming home to himself, coming home to things as they are. So he spent 7 days consolidating his experience. So this Rohatsu Seishin is as Buddhas ourselves, we're doing the same thing, and celebrating and appreciating and also manifesting as Buddhas. So what did we do or didn't do? We just came together and we sat down and we were quiet together and we were silent together. And we just came home. That's all. Nothing special. And yet, some people might say it's kind of heroic work. We all faced the wall, and in facing the wall, we kind of deliberately stopped. A lot of our life is motion, is engagement, is communication, is entertainment, is fullness. And when we came here and met the wall, we stopped. That's the proposition. It's like a dead end. We had to stop, didn't we? We came to a wall, so I don't know. Unless you want to break your nose, you have to stop. When we stopped this way, we took a good posture, upright posture, and our back, in effect, became a second wall. We stopped, we were upright, and we allowed, with this strong back, this back like a wall, we allowed the front of ourselves, our face, the front of our torso, to become very soft and to open and to settle. Almost like a swoon. And because we were willing to wait with that, because we were willing to just do this one thing of stopping being where we were. We could notice something, and we started to notice things. We noticed our body, our breath, our minds. We noticed consciousness itself. We also noticed the contents of consciousness, how our consciousness is so active and productive and creative and silly sometimes. Actually, sometimes ridiculous, what we think about and what we believe. We noticed pleasure and pain. We noticed sounds. That's all. And it was enough. With each breath, we received the world. We received you could say when we inhaled, we received everything that was not us. And when we exhaled, we completely released ourselves and merged with everything that was not us. So that both us and not us started to if not disappear, at least become transparent and drop away. When I was younger and just beginning to practice, along with Doug in Minneapolis, we practiced with Katagiri Roshi. And there was a visiting teacher that came to Katagiri Roshi's for a workshop, and he gave a teaching based on a poem that I'd like to recite. It's a favorite poem of mine. I mentioned it before as well. And this poem, in a certain sense, gives the encapsulizes the complete practice in a way. It's by a Tang Dynasty Chinese poet named Wang Wei. It goes like this: In my middle years, or I could say in my older years, in my middle years, I've become rather fond of the way. I've made my place, I've made my home in these South Mountains. And when I'm so inclined, I go to see what I must see by myself. I follow a stream up to its source. I follow a stream up to the place where the water ends, and I sit there and wait for for a time when clouds might appear. Or else I might meet a woodsman, might meet a friend along the way, and I'll completely forget about going home. That's it. That's the poem. That's the very profound poem. Like many Chinese poems, it's very subtle and seems to say nothing at all. And yet, if you look closely, there's more there. We could say, in my later years, I've finally become fond of this practice, and I've settled into these Long Ridge Mountains, and come to sit at Jikoji Zen Center. I follow the stream up to its source. I follow the stream up to the place where the water ends, and I sit and wait. And something happens. Maybe I hear the sound of a bird, or there's a cloud that I notice. Or else I might meet someone else at Jikoji, and we start talking and discussing a building project or something, and I'll completely forget about going to the source. What do you think? Is this about practice?
I think it's about presence, and that's what our practice is all about, being present. Well, to retract that. Who am I to say what our practice is all about? But presence is a big part of our practice, and that's what I hear in this poem. Jonathan's got his hand up.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I used to do this thing with streams. I was really kind of enamored by where they started, so I would always walk along them until, you know, something happened. But I always had this idea about where they would start, that there'd be this kind of, like a, I don't know, like a spring, or they would just appear, or it was this kind of fantasy about what the beginning of the stream might look like. It was always disappointing. Because the stream just gets smaller and smaller.
And then it disappears.
Sometimes it's seeping out from underneath some leaves, or it's like trickling down the hill or something. Right. But it never, there's no single point that you can point to and say, that's where the stream started. Except sometimes. Sometimes there's an actual burbling thing. There's some water burbling out of the ground, but that was more the exception.
This week we became very, very quiet, and we were able to in a sense, get to the place before. Before sounds a little wrong, in the sense that it's a kind of sequence. Dogen calls it like a backward step. We're all very familiar with the fact that we maintain our world, we construct our world in here, in our minds. And we have this sometimes constant internal dialogue. We have a kind of story line of, and it has to do with identity, and it has to do with habits and relationships. It's a kind of maintenance of self that is sometimes feels like it's just perpetual. When we sit down like this, we can actually see that we're doing it, for one thing. And we can see its cause and see its even see its necessity, and we can soften it and relax and let it become quiet. To go upstream into the to the place where the water becomes very small, like Jonathan said, very subtle, is basically to go against the current of our life, our desire-based, our selfing-based momentum of our life is to go downstream. When we go downstream, we create the world. We maintain a self with that kind of flood or flowing. We when you go downstream in a river, have you noticed more stuff happens? There's boats, maybe. There's little houses, docks. There's maybe more activity. Finally, there's the ocean, perhaps, or a lake. It's busy and it's interesting, and that's the momentum of our life, you could say. But for those of us that do this work, that are interested in this spiritual practice, this spiritual way, we have this question or this impetus to turn around and to say, what is before? What is the source? What is before my words? So we turn around, and this is practice. We turn around and we go upstream. And as we go upstream, you know, it's more difficult. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, it's kind of easy to go downstream, but to go against the current takes some work. Sometimes there's rocks we have to climb over. Sometimes we have to get out of the stream and just walk alongside the stream because it's too much. And as we get upstream, the experience gets less and less is going on. actually, when we arrive at the place where the water ends, which is also the place where water begins, we, strictly speaking, nothing is happening. That place of complete calm is also the place of complete potentiality. That's the source. And we, in this practice, we sit there. We sit with that. And in the process of sitting with it, we discover that something has to happen. Isn't that strange? You'd think, oh, I've arrived at the source, so I can just hang out there forever, right? No, sorry. When we return to the source like this, we become refreshed, and we have found a home, but in the process, we realize that we have to think, we have to live, we have to relate, we have to go back and meet life. And in the process, we come back into the world. So for 7 days we've been sitting like this, and now we're about to come back in the world. So we're going to rush downstream together. After people have practiced this way a bit, they become a little, you could say, a little more sensitive or even vulnerable. And tender. So instead of being strong in a brittle sense, this practice will make us a little more raw in a way. So when we come back in the world, expect to be affected by things and take care of yourselves. I have one more poem I'd like to share. Is it time? No. This is from a teaching of
It's only food.
Speed read.
Doug and I and my Dharma brother Joshin, who, by the way, sewed that big robe that I was wearing for me. Thank you very much. He's from Switzerland. We know about snow. Maybe a few others know about snow. This is about going back into the world or meeting the world. It's a New Year's poem from a teacher named Guansha or Gensha. Gensha was originally a fisherman, and he was maybe 50 years or so before Dogen. Dogen really loved this Gensha. He was a fisherman before he became a monk, and his name was his original name was Shenrang. How does it go? Shenrang. Third son of Sheng. He was came from a fishing family, and he wrote this poem about practice. It goes this way. Doing the practice in the morning, I found everything, naturally as it is. I have just only stopped beyond these dualities, and then all the Buddhas are appearing here, right in front of me. The snow is pure and white, and it falls on the moving river. Shenrang, in his fishing boat, is gratified to see this. When Gensha became a monk, he dropped off his original name, Shenrang. He let go of it. That was his family name, and he took on a Dharma name, a monk's name. He became Gensha. But in this process, he says, Shenrang, my original self, my primal self, my original face, is gratified with this. Gratified with what? Snow, this is practice. Snow, if you can imagine snowflakes falling, the snowflake of your practice, of your true heart, of your letting go mind, of your practice, these snowflakes, beautiful snowflakes falling on a river that is not yet frozen, so the water is moving, and the snowflake dissolves into this moving river and goes on. So that's the, as a parting word, that's the encouragement and advocation of this practice, as Peter mentioned, about taking the practice into daily life, that we carefully let this practice, this pure practice, dissolve into the flow of our daily life and the flow of all life around us as well. Okay, can everyone thoroughly do that? Okay, I have your word. We'll now have a lunch together, a social lunch, and there'll be time to let our snowflakes dissolve and have a lunch.